National Radio Hub.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by radio. Without your radio, you couldn't make an air check.
Hello, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for January 2013. We are back with Mark Marino, enjoying the audio fruits of his trip to Topeka, Kansas. Continuing up the FM dial, next stop is Big 94.5.
Continuous country.
Hey, Brad Paisley here.
Hi, everyone. Keith Evans.
And we're Montgomery Gentry.
The biggest names in country music.
The Big 94.5 Country.
KansasBest150.com is where you can vote for your favorite teacher, your favorite town, your favorite sport event, your favorite team. Who knows? Somebody could be voting for you right now.
I never realized how much work it was being popular.
Cast your vote at KansasBest150.com.
This is so cool.
Sponsored by the Topeka Capital Journal and the Big 94.5 Country.
Chris Young on the Big 94.5 Country, 12 in a row, brought to you by Capital Federal Savings, True Blue for over 110 years. And we are going to be out this weekend. It's going to be fun and exciting. It's Topeka Zoo, Boo at the Zoo, and we're going to be out 9 to 11 in the morning. But, of course, Boo at the Zoo is going on pretty much all day long at the Topeka Zoo. So head on out there, get your kids in their costume, and get out there and do some trick-or-treating at the zoo. Check out the animals and all the fun. So it's going to be a good time. There's more to do this year out there. It's brought to you by Hallmark and the Big 94.5 Country. And I've got free admission for you again today during the noon hour to Boo at the Zoo. So get ready to call in for that and win those tickets. We've got some Darius Rucker and Tracy Byrd coming up.
It is going to be a sunny and breezy day again today with gusts occasionally up around 25 miles an hour. Look for a cool high at 52 with light winds and clear skies tonight. We're going to drop to 28 degrees across Topeka and northeastern Kansas. We'll see a little warmer high tomorrow at 55. I am meteorologist Abel Ahead, and that's your 94.5 Country forecast.
Right now, 39 degrees on the Big 94.5 Country.
You got it.
The most music in the morning.
And 12 in a row every hour for your work day.
I can't get enough.
94.5 Country. It's time to take a break and play Big Cash High Low Office Edition.
Here's how things work here. My job is to make the office fun.
If you're the correct caller right now to 297-9494 or 290-9494, you could win some cash for you.
Money can't buy happiness.
Oh, grow up, yes it can.
And maybe some cash for your coworkers.
That just makes the whole office's day.
All right, get on the phone right now, and we did have our winner, Bobby from Centralia, won with Walker Daniels this morning, picked up $171.50, have our new range now, 169 to 276. Get on the phone, we'll see how you do. Caller number 9.
What does a giraffe dress up as for Halloween? Well, probably a giraffe. I mean, it is a pretty sweet costume already. The Big 94.5 Country and Hallmark present Boo at the Zoo.
From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on October 22nd and 29th at the Topeka Zoo, there'll be more than 30 treat stations for the kids to visit, plus lots of other fun family Halloween activities. Adult admission is $575, $425 for children and seniors, and free for children two and under and FOSS members.
Trick or treat with a variety of area businesses, including Jostin's, Angel's 31 Gifts. For more details, visit 94country.com.
All right, 94.5 Country. You ever have one of those days? I talked to Eric just a minute ago from Liberty Construction. They're doing inventory today, but I didn't record him. Didn't get him on the air. So anyway, his guess, though, was 217. Our cash range is 169 to 276, and his guess was 217, which is too low, but he'll try again this afternoon, and you can do that as well. Noon, 2, and 4 o'clock today on the Big 94.5 Country.
Good things come to those who wait, and you've waited long enough.
Well, we know what you're really waiting for. I give you
12 in a row.
I can't wait.
On the Big 94.5 Country.
Big Cash High Low. We've got that coming up again during the 12 o'clock hour. And I've got 12 in a row now. Rodney Adkins, David Neal, Lady A coming up. And right now, some Joe Nichols on the Big 94.5 Country.
WIBW.
Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle, Bob Seger, and Silver Bullet Band. You'll accompany me just after 3 o'clock. Good Tuesday afternoon. The Eagle Late Afternoon Show is on the air. I'm Kevin Williams. Glad to be here with you on your Tuesday, where we're finishing off your 9-to-5 no-repeat workday. And we're inside 10 Classic Hits in a row with the Bee Gees. This is Night Fever on Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle.
Classic Hits and nothing else. Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle. Great classic hits and nothing else. Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle. Yeah! Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle. Topeka's official cruising station.
Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle, Carole King, right here on the Eagle Late Afternoon Show. You're with Kevin Williams on this Tuesday. Remember, I am broadcasting live right now at eagle993.com. And we're in the middle of 10 Classic Hits in a row with John Mellencamp, Pete Housen, on 99.3, The Eagle.
Rocking the workforce, Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle.
Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle, Robert Palmer, Simply Irresistible. Good Tuesday afternoon. It's the Eagle Late Afternoon Show. I'm Kevin Williams. More great classics as we finish off your 9-to-5 no-repeat workday. How about some REO Speedwagon, Boston, and Creedence Clearwater Revival. And, of course, that finishing fling at 4, that's where we're going to wrap up the last hour of your 9-to-5 no-repeat workday. Hey, remember that Super 70s Lunch Hour with Casey Garrett is from noon until 1, and it's brought to you by Applewood Smokehouse, where they have the meatiest ribs around. And if you haven't tried them, you're missing out, plain and simple. I want you to check that out. But I also want you to join us for that Super 70s Lunch Hour. Casey Garrett's got it weekdays from noon until 1, right here on Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle.
Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle. I invite you to sign up for the Eagle 99.3 VIP Listener Club.
Love that money hatch. Big money.
Money.
Be the first for exclusive local events, Eagle on Air contests, and more.
I've been the biggest fan forever.
I'm a huge fan.
I'm a huge fan.
Online, anytime, 24/7.
Good gravy.
Go to eagle993.com right now, sign up, and get ready to win great prizes from Classic Hits 99.3, The Eagle.
Cumulus Broadcasting is honoring the local business owners in Topeka that have contributed to putting Northeast Kansas back to work. If you own or operate a business and have recently added to your Northeast Kansas workforce, we want to thank you and recognize you along with your business. Log on today to cumulusradio.com. Let us know who you are, what your business name is, the number of jobs you created, and what those positions are. Creating jobs is a major part of the economic recovery, and your contribution deserves recognition and mention. Head over right now to cumulusradio.com. Let us know the number of new jobs your business has created here in Northeast Kansas. We want to talk to you about your contribution to our thousands of listeners in Topeka and the surrounding communities. Be sure to log on to cumulusradio.com to submit your business name. Cumulus Broadcasting wants to thank you for helping put Northeast Kansas back to work.
Cumulus, the power of radio.
Eagle Late Afternoon Show with Kevin Williams. Classic Hits, 99.3, The Eagle.
just wanted to call in and say great radio station.
Really like the sound I'm hearing on the radio.
Radio.
Great songs you can sing along with. Classic hits, 99.3, The Eagle.
This is Topeka's rock leader, V100. V100's Classic Cafe.
It's an American classic.
It's sure to be a classic.
V100.
Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Her Strut on V100. It's part of your Classic Cafe. And William Shatner's new album out in stores now. The album title is actually inspired by this song right here. Seeking Major Tom is the title of William Shatner's new album. But here's the original song. It's David Bowie's Space Oddity on V100.
The killer classics and your requests. V100's Classic Cafe.
I like it.
On Topeka's rock leader, V100.
Buffalo Springfield, for what it's worth, Topeka's rock leader, V100, all part of your Classic Cafe this afternoon. And since it's lunchtime, I do want to remind you about a great 50-50 Fridays deal we will have coming up this week. If you want to save on food, always check out 50-50 Fridays. Sometimes the gift certificates are food after all. And some of our other favorite local businesses this week, it is food. It's going to be a $50 gift certificate for only $25 to Quiznos. And all you have to do is go online Friday morning, 9 a.m. Make sure you get there fast, because sometimes these gift certificates, they do go fast because it's only while supplies last. All you have to do is click the 50-50 Fridays link at the top of the page on V100Rocks.com Friday morning, 9 a.m. You do that, you can get a $50 gift certificate for only $25 to Quiznos, and it's only with 50-50 Fridays.
KDVV 100.3 weather forecast.
Sunny today, but that's about the only upside. 58 degrees, you're high and breezy. Then tonight, pretty cold, low around 32 degrees. Could be some frost late into the night, into early tomorrow morning as well. Temperatures tomorrow, 53 degrees, you're high. Still sunny, though. We could get back up to the 60s by maybe Friday, even the 70s. Possibly by next Monday. Your Classic Cafe continues on V100. Here's Pink Floyd and Mother.
It starts now. A V100 nonstop rock block. V100rocks.com.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
Topeka's rock leader, V100, KDVV, Topeka, Lawrence, Manhattan, and KDVB, Effingham, a Cumulus station.
And there's a snapshot of three of Topeka's FMs. We'll finish up Topeka next month. Thank you, Mark. Remember, if you'd like to show the DX Audio Service membership how interesting your radio market is, send your recordings to an ugly old fat guy, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. The audio service subscribers would be most appreciative. Now back to Frederick R. Vobey, where the R must stand for radio. Fred has his finger right on the start button for Musings for the Members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Members may muse by calling the action line. 24 hours a day.
Welcome to my life.
If you are looking for trouble, you found it.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, today, November 30th, CJRN, Niagara Falls, Ontario, went off as they were supposed to. They were running a dead carrier for weeks. I thought that was so useless. There's a station in Montreal on 1570. I think it was CKLB. They've just fired all their disc jockeys, and they've gone automated, I'm sorry to say. And someone has applied for, I believe, received permission to put a station back on 600 where CFCF used to be down there. Also, last Friday in the afternoon, a little after 5 o'clock, I picked up WTVB, Coldwater, Michigan, on 1590. I used to get that station regularly in the 1950s. They carried the Chicago White Sox baseball games, and so did WSGS in Sturgis, Michigan, 1470, which isn't very far from there. I've noticed how many stations seem to be going to this comedy format. Seems to be the new thing that everybody's jumping on.
Hi, Fred. This is Mike in Aventura, Florida, wishing everybody a very, very happy holiday season. Now to Mark Dornberger, a few highlights on the history of South Florida radio. Number one, WAVS came on the air in the early 70s. They were on 1190. They were news talk, and they were also music. They were a daytime station. And this is interesting. WOAH at 1220 was considering moving to 1190. That never happened. Before it was WOAH, it was WMET, which was at 1490 at one time. 1490 became WMBM. WMBM was also for a while at 1220. Before it was at 1220, it was at 790. 1220 was originally, I believe, a radio station called WFEC, which stood for Florida East Coast Broadcasting. Wonderful World Radio and WMET, I believe, were owned by Latin Broadcasting Company, also known as Dynamic Broadcasting Company. Dynamic Broadcasting Company owned WHAMO in Pittsburgh and WILD in Boston and many others, I do believe. Also, 1450 was originally a station called WSKP, and that was interesting because they were an automated radio station. They played mainly music with a few commercials, and they were WSKP, your station by choice, not by chance. And they were known as Prestige Radio, WSKP. Then, back in 66, I believe they became WOCN, Music in the Air, and they had musical vignettes. They also carried the morning newspaper of the year, and they also carried, believe it or not, recreation baseball games. So, that's a little bit of history about Miami radio. Hope you enjoyed that. And from my family to your family, happy holidays and the best of luck in 2013 with the DX Audio Service. Thank you.
This is Tim Hendel with two items. We were asked on AM Switch, what is the historic significance of 600 in Montreal? Well, for many years that was station CFCF, and they claimed to be the first broadcast station in North America. They disputed the claim with KDKA. On the Topeka market scope, we started off with a country station on 92.9. In other words, the whole 88 to 92 lower part of the FM band was left out. I think 88 to 92 is the most interesting part of the FM band. Above 92, you get the stations which sound just like stations in every other market for the most part. I think a market scope should be all or nothing. Please give us all the stations, including the NPR stations, the foreign language stations, all the other stuff that maybe makes the market a little unusual.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, and I was very interested in hearing the Topeka, Kansas market scope, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of it. Many of you may remember that WIBW on 580 used to be a station that shared frequencies up until just a few short years ago, as a matter of fact, and I believe it was from 1 until 5 in the afternoon. They relinquished their transmitter to KHAC from Kansas State University. And WIBW has a monster signal throughout this part of the country. I can pick them up on several good radios where I am here, about 125 miles east of Kansas City. KMAJ on 1440 used to have the call letters many years ago of KEWI, and I know those call letters are somewhere else now. Also, WIBW-FM at 94.5 was involved in a huge shakeup of FM frequencies that affected Kansas and Missouri and probably even into Nebraska and maybe some Iowa stations, I'm not sure. But they used to be at 97.3 for years and years, and then they moved to 94.5 and bumped off KJCK-FM in Junction City, Kansas, and I don't know where they are now as far as their spot on the dial. But 97.3 is now in the Kansas City area doing the K-Love format. Anyway, just a few little tidbits about the Topeka market. Looking forward to the rest of the market scope. Happy New Year.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205, 24 hours a day for EDXN and DX Audio Service members. Keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. And Tim Hendel, you scored yourself some DX dollars. You did get that answer correctly that Dave Alpert put on his AM switch. Which, what was so unique about 600 in Montreal? Yeah, CFCF did occupy that frequency, and they did make the claim, amongst a lot of other stations, such as KDKA, KQV, WWJ, just to name a few, who all said that they were the first on the air. Congratulations, Tim. Now let's hear something about the convention.
Hi, folks. Wanted to spend a couple of minutes telling you about this year's NRC convention because it's a very unique convention and it's one that you're not going to want to miss. We're meeting in Minneapolis, and it's not just the National Radio Club, but the International Radio Club of America, IRCA, the Minnesota DX Club, and Worldwide TV FM DX Association. The convention will take place the first weekend in August 2013. That's August 1st through the 4th. And we're putting a slightly different spin on it because we're going to include tutorials and teaching sessions, technical sessions, our usual get-together gab gatherings, a de-expedition, and ideas on how to enhance radio listening. We'll have show and tell. We'll have new antenna designs and DX stories. You will be pleasantly surprised to hear that a lot of your friends and a lot of our acknowledged DX experimenters with some track records will be here to share how they do it. So it's not only going to be a fun convention, but you're going to learn from it and come away with some great ideas. And as far as the camaraderie is concerned, I think you're going to be excited to hear who is planning to attend. And toward that end, we're urging you to register early as soon as we get the registration information out. The reason for the early entry registration is not only to ensure your place at the hotel or wherever you're staying in Minneapolis, but to let everyone know that you're planning to attend. We intend to publish a list with your permission announcing the fact that you're going to be here so that as your friends scroll through the announcements, they'll say, ah, good reason to come myself. This year's combined auction is going to be great, and probably the highlight of the convention will be its venue, the Museum of Broadcasting. There we'll see firsthand more than a century's worth of communications artifacts. We'll operate a live spark gap transmitter, learn more about the history behind our hobby, and see how radio broadcasts were made from the museum's vintage radio studio. Our optional tours this year will include the big area radio stations and, of course, the Mall of America. The hotel for the 2013 convention is the Holiday Inn Bloomington South Airport Mall in Minneapolis. Again, the dates are Thursday, August 1st through Sunday, August 4th, 2013. And if you have questions, contact me at www.dernberger.com. That's spelled DURENBERGER.com. I hope that if you haven't been able to show up for a few years, you'll make this year a special year. I guarantee you it'll be worth the trip. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, and we'll see you in Minneapolis next August.
From the National Radio Club, this is the DX Audio Service.
The following appeared in DX News magazine, titled The Decline of the United States Postal Service by Craig Criss, KG4 LAC. There's a lot of good still left in the good old United States Postal Service. We had uninterrupted mail service here in D.C. throughout Hurricane Sandy, for instance, but with budget cuts and operation streamlining, things are slowing down, and this affects all of us who still rely on the post office for a fast, dependable, and affordable service. Several members have noted delays in receiving DX News lately. We've checked, and our print shop has been, in fact, mailing DX News right on schedule, the Friday before the Monday of the date that appears on the magazine. Issue 9, for example, went out on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. How it gets from there to your mailbox is quite complicated, and it's getting more complicated all the time, and apparently time-consuming. So maybe you get your DX News right on time, or maybe once again, you get it late, really late. Now, unless things change with the United States Postal Service, and it doesn't look like the situation is going to get much better anytime soon, what can you do about it? Well, if DX News is late, wait a bit. It's probably on its way. If it's a week already, and you think you didn't get your issue, and your membership didn't run out or anything, then contact Wayne Heinen at the National Radio Club's headquarters, Post Office Box in Aurora. He can get you a replacement issue free of charge. You can also sign up to EDXN and download the PDF version of DX News shortly after it goes to print, usually on the Saturday a full 9 days before the masthead date. Yes, there are a lot of reasons to like the print version of DX News, and we'll keep publishing and mailing it, but if your frustration level with the United States Post Office has your blood pressure at dangerous levels, electronic access may be an option that is available to you. And this would be a good time to remind our DX Audio Service members that we publish typically on the 20th to the 29th of the previous month of an issue, and it goes out on the first of the month. However, we ask that you wait until the 30th of the month before you start waving red flags and calling us asking where your audio service is. And of course, always, always check the label to see what your expiration date is. And if the CD that you're receiving is the last issue, it will be highlighted in yellow on the mailing label.
From Radio World News Magazine, a letter to the editor entitled, "We Need Better Tech Solutions." It was written by Marvin Walther on November 26th. Radio World's coverage of the fall radio show in the October 24th issue touched on complaints about HD radio. I might add another. The HD signal sounds like so much pink noise on the analog dial as to make stations unlistenable. I was attempting to listen to WABC AM in New York one Friday evening while driving here in northern Michigan, but the digital signals of WBBM and WJR were making it nigh to impossible. If it wasn't one digital signature drifting in, it was the other, or both, mixing on the main analog carrier of WABC and wiping out the analog audio. IBOC is no solution as long as the band remains analog. Either go 100% digital on a different portion of the dial or remain analog. Don't try to do both. It's ruining the power that can be dedicated to digital and diminishing the audio quality of AM modulation on the analog portion, producing very poor frequency response and coverage area. And that portion of the letter that was applicable to the DX Audio Service, called "We Need Better Tech Solutions," was written by Marvin Walther, chief engineer at Carroll Broadcasting in Tawas City, Michigan.
From Greg Hardison and Paul Swearingen, and from the Orange County Register, dated December 13, 2012, and from Amateur Radio Newsline, Ray Bream, a pioneer in Los Angeles talk radio, most notably overnights on KABC AM 790, has died at age 82, his daughter Debbie announced on Wednesday. Ray was amateur radio call sign N6FFT. Anyone born or raised in the great American Southwest in the last half century likely knows the name Ray Bream. For some 30 of those years, Bream, who held the amateur service call sign N6FFT, was called the host who owned overnight talk radio on Los Angeles station KABC AM. Born Leland R. Bream in Ogden, Utah in 1930, Ray Bream first took to the radio airwaves at age 15. On August 14th of 1945, he was asked by a station manager to substitute for a staff announcer, and with that, his days in radio were off and running. The highlight of Ray Bream's career was when he came to KABC in 1967, where he held court over the nighttime hours until 1994. While he loved big band music and interviewed hundreds of celebrities, his mainstay was talking with and to his listeners. and when he got involved in shortwave listening, and then ham radio, several nights each year were devoted to talking about both of these topics. Frequent guests on those special shows included the late Lenore Jensen, W6NAZ, and her husband Bob, W6VGQ, and Lloyd Sigman, W6LQ, who created the traffic alert system named in his honor, known as the SigAlert. After retiring from KABC, Ray Bream did a brief afternoon talk show on KIEV-AM. He received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and in 2008 was honored for his contributions to broadcast radio by the Pacific Pioneer Broadcasting Organization. On a personal note, unlike some celebrities with call signs, Ray was more than just a name in the amateur radio database. He was often heard on the local ham repeater that Bill Pasternak and many had contacts with, speaking to him through the Catalina repeater. As always, be it speaking to hundreds of thousands over KABC or in a one-to-one contact via ham radio, Ray Bream, N6FFT, was a true gentleman and a friendly voice in the night that will be missed. Okay, here's a little quiz. I'm going to take this tape, which is in a plastic shell, and put it in the machine. Now, to hear the songs, I have to go to different tracks, just like this. And then when I want to hear the song, I press the play button like this. Sounds pretty good. Some old Doors music from the 60s. Can you guess what kind of machine this is? If you guessed an 8-track, you're right. This article is titled, God Save the 8-Track, written by Hunter Oatman Stanford on December 14, 2012. Growing up in the 1970s, Bucks Burnett never even owned an 8-Track tape. When his parents purchased their first post-LP stereo console, they went straight for a cassette player. They were visionaries, he said. But that hasn't stopped Burnett from becoming the 8-Track's most vocal champion, amassing an incredible collection of Stereo 8 cartridges, even opening up the world's first museum devoted entirely to the format. Located in the Deep Ellingham neighborhood of Dallas, Texas, Burnett's original 8-Track Museum opened in 2011, offering visitors a peek at a often overlooked medium, plus an archive of every audio recording format created since the earliest wax cylinders of the late 1800s. In October of this year, the second outpost of Burnett's homage to the 8-Track opened at the Orphic Gallery in Roxbury, New York, expanding the reach of his crusade for lesser-known forms of audio recording. Burnett's obsession with Stereo 8 tapes began after a chance encounter at a garage sale in the 1980s, and he's never looked back. The quirky vibe of each 8-Track museum is perfectly matched by Burnett's outsized personality. When the Oxford Dictionary decided to remove the entry for cassette tape in 2011, Burnett retaliated by banning the dictionary from his museum. During the 1980s, Burnett befriended music world notables as the ukulele-playing Tiny Tim, as well as Chris Franz and Tina Weymouth, the founding members of the Talking Heads, who went on to create Tom Tom Club in 1981. Among others, each of those stars is a part of Burnett's unfinished documentary on the 8-track tape called Spinal Tape, which is expected to be completed in 2013. Burnett recently gave Collectors Weekly a lowdown on forgotten formats and why the world needs a few museums dedicated to Stereo 8. You never owned a single 8-track tape as a kid?
No, I didn't. I listened to them at friends' houses, and they were always around in music stores, but I was focused on LPs and 45s when I was really young. When I was able to drive, I got a cassette player in my car instead. But at the time, I was managing the 8-track department at Peach's Records in Dallas. So it was kind of ironic.
Do you associate them with specific music?
Mainly Led Zeppelin. Because when you'd go driving around partying, people would usually be playing Led Zeppelin 8-tracks.
When did you start collecting them?
In 1988, I was at a garage sale in Dallas, looking through a box of stuff, and I found The Beatles' White Album on 8-track, which was a 2-tape set in this lovely black slipcase I'd never seen before, with The Beatles written in gold lettering. I thought, wow, that's cool. I asked the guy, how much for this? And he said, $7. I said, for an 8-track? Thinking, are you nuts? And he said, give me the 7 or put it back in the box. So I gave him the $7, and that's how it all started. I took it home that day, and I put it up on my fireplace mantle, and it kept catching my eye for the next 2 or 3 days. By 1988, 8-tracks had been over for several years, so it looked very exotic to me. Then I got this terrific idea to collect every single Beatles 8-track, and that took 5 years, because this was pre-internet. I had to go to estate sales, garage sales, thrift stores, and flea markets to find them.
How many total Beatles releases were there?
Including all the tacky reissues the company put out after the band broke up, about 25 or so. I was very dedicated.
Did this inspire you to create the museum?
Well, I also owned a record store called 14 Records in Dallas at the time. All I was really doing was trying to build a complete Beatles 8-track set. But if you're looking through a box and there's Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin for 50 cents each, you can't say no. So I accidentally started collecting them. And then 6 months later, I'm like, wait a minute, I've got 3 copies of Dark Side of the Moon here. I started putting the extra ones out for sale at my record store as a joke. Because by 1989 or 90, the last thing you needed in your record store was an 8-track section, right? Well, much to my shock, they were selling as fast as I could put them out to people who didn't even have players. That's when I realized there was this larger interest.
Were people drawn to them as physical objects?
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it. If you think about it, of the dozens of formats over the last, say, 50 years, it's the only one that's self-contained. A cassette has like 3, 4, 5 pieces, and when you lose 2 pieces, you throw it away. Even for the beloved LP, you got the record, the sleeve, and the cover. The 8-track tape was just one object. You shove it in, you pull it out. And it's the exact size of your hand. I think people really responded to that.
What's unique about the original Dallas Museum versus the new Roxbury location?
Well, they couldn't be more different. The Dallas location is considered the mothership. That's where I have the master collection of, say, 3,000 of the best 8-tracks ever made, plus 5 or 10 of the worst. The Roxbury collection is more about the hardware. In the Roxbury Museum, we've constructed a physical walk-through timeline of most major formats throughout the last 120 years or so, from the wax cylinder of the 1870s on up through the iPod. They're all in perfect working order, so we can demonstrate how a wax cylinder, a 78-player, 8-track, or reel-to-reel sounds. We provide that as sort of a public service to really give people a visual and audio education of what music has sounded like through the decades. The Roxbury site also has the world's absolute guaranteed rarest 8-track. It's a Frank Sinatra album, recorded with the Brazilian jazz musician Antonio Carlos Jobim, called Sinatra Jobim. The album was briefly issued on 8-track, but recalled before any LP or cassette copies were made. And only about 5 copies survived because Frank ordered them to be destroyed. I think somebody put five into their pocket and took them home. They generally change hands for around $5,000. We miraculously got one of those for the museum, and we're very proud that it's on display right now in Roxbury. In fact, it even has its own room. I thought it would be great to accent its specialness and rarity by having it be the only tape in a small room.
Like the crown jewel, so to speak.
Yeah. There are about five other 8-tracks that over the past few years have sold in the same dollar range as the Sinatra album, but the Sinatra is the Mona Lisa. It's an undeclared crown jewel, and I couldn't be more thrilled to have it.
Have you actually listened to it?
Oh, God, no, no. That would just be my luck, you know? I'd put it in, and there it goes. For 30 years, most of the music on that 8-track was unique to the 8-track, never reissued. And finally, 2 years ago, they put it out as part of a 2-CD collection.
How was the Stereo 8 format initially developed?
In the mid-60s, Bill Lear of Learjet wanted a format to play music in his airplanes. So he had his engineers develop a tape cartridge that they installed in the jets. Very quickly, a light went off in his head. He's like, wait, my jet customers love having music in the air. Why can't I put this in cars? Lear went out and lobbied all the big auto manufacturers in Detroit and got them to introduce a line of 8-track players in their 1966 cars. The very first 8-tracks appeared in the marketplace in 1965, for the 66 cars. To put it in context, the first Beatles 8-track offered as a new release was Rubber Soul.
So why do you think cassette tape took over?
It was smaller and it had fewer issues. The 8-track had a few technical flaws that would create operational problems. It was well known for that. Which is too bad because the sound is really terrific. 8-tracks sounded much better than cassettes.
Are there any practically strange audio formats in your collection?
Oh, yeah. I keep thinking I've discovered the last one, and then I find some other oddball. There was a folding 8-track manufactured briefly in 1970 that's quite collectible now. The cartridge literally folds in half so you could put it in your shirt pocket. Those are insanely rare. There were also these little tiny tapes made from 65 through 1970 called 2-tracks. They're half the size and half the depth of the 8-track, and they're just adorable. Almost every Beatles album came out in a series of 2-tracks, as did albums by Frank Zappa and other rock artists. And now they're really collectible. No one even knew about 2-tracks when they were new. Also, the very first cassettes were like 5 times the size of the cassette we think of. So there are just dozens and dozens of great examples.
And that article is from Hunter Oatman Stanford, dated December 14th of 2012, called God Save the 8-Track.
When your strange faces come out of the rain, when you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange.
I'm Charlie Van Dyke, and you're listening to the DX Audio Service from the National Radio Club.